brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, you've been listening to the president's speech, and if you'd like to talk about it, feel free to call in 1-800-836-9278. I'll tell you two of the things I like the best about the speech. The commitment by the president to bring order to parts of Iraq that remain dangerous. Now, there have been these protests, and it's pretty obvious that the Islamic extremists have been using the public, much like Saddam did, and stir up a protest and then use the protesters as a shield and from behind the crowd fire bullets at our troops. And so thankfully our troops fire back, and in pretty short order the protests have been decreasing in number because the people will figure out what's happening. And whether they like the Islamic extremists or not, they don't like being shot. So that's a real positive thing. And the law enforcement effort in Iraq. You know, before we had to topple a government and we used thousands of special forces in Iraq to go against the Republican Guard, the government, infrastructure of leadership, command and control. And now we still have thousands of special forces in Iraq. And we will be looking for those who are inciting the violence. And our law enforcement efforts in Iraq right now will not be hindered by the kinds of regulations that impede proper law enforcement right here in America. And so they'll be able to use the appropriate tools of the trade to figure out who is trying to bring about Islamic extremist victories over there and zero in on those people. So that'll be great. And the second thing I liked about the speech was the statement, wherever freedom stirs, let tyrants fear. And that's good. I like that. And I want to give you a quote I heard from a talk show host, another syndicated talk show host on another network, Salem Radio Network. And his name is Dennis Prager. And in fact, he was on, was it MSNBC just two nights ago? But he said on his radio show that day, he said, I value freedom more highly than democracy. And I thought, wow, what an excellent quote. I value freedom more highly than democracy. Because democracies easily, and then Dennis Prager pointed out that, hey, the Nazis, they came to power through a democratic process. Adolf Hitler was elected, and we'll be right back. Listener-supported radio right here, Bob Enyart Live, 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. So I think you've got a good rundown on our videos, right? We've got Bob debates an evolutionist, Bob debates an ACLU leader, confronting an atheist, Amy's call. She was the woman who thought she was good enough to get to heaven. And Terry's call, the homosexual who hated Christians until. Megan's call, the woman who supports abortion. And then environmentalists lose a 10-year bet. That was a fun video. And talk about fun video. Video fruitcake. Video fruitcake? I tell you, we're going to have to make a cover for that video. A four-color cover. Make it look like a fruitcake. That'll be fun. That'll be good. And then the trouble with lawyers. Why do we have lawyers in the world? Why do we need lawyers? God laid out a criminal justice system in the Bible. What part did he give to the lawyers? Can you answer that question? Hey, you'll enjoy it, The Trouble with Lawyers. Bob on Drugs. That's when a heroin addict called in. And then Infanticide Exposed. You know, I wonder if we should start a monthly video mailing. One video a month. What do you think of that? For $19.95. And then if somebody stays with it for all the videos, $19.95. Wow. 8, 9, 10, 11. They'd save $55 over the course of getting all of our videos. Hey, that's an idea, huh? Monthly video. Just like somebody gets the monthly Bible study album. Monthly video for $19.95. Now, does that include shipping and handling? It does? That narrows the margin. I'm talking to my staff here. You guys out there in Radioland, I think I'm talking to myself, right? I'm talking to my staff who are under, on the other side of the glass window between the studio and the operations room. Okay, let's think about that. All right, we could talk to Joe Rosano. See, maybe we'll put it on the subscriptions page on the store at kgov.com. Shop online, subscriptions, monthly video. One 800 8 NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. So yeah, Dennis Prager made that statement, which I think is courageous in the current climate. I would not make the same statement because of the implied appreciation or approval of democracy. I think democracy is a huge mistake. But I was pretty thrilled to hear Dennis Prager say, I value freedom more highly than democracy. And then he went on to point out how via democracy, some people have lost their freedoms. For example, Adolf Hitler. Adolf Hitler was elected with about the same percent of the vote as Bill Clinton received. You know, he didn't get a majority, but he got a plurality. He got a bigger percent than anyone else. And in Nazi Germany, in some votes nationwide, like I think in 1931, 1933, if you combine the Nazi vote and the Marxist communist vote, between those two parties, they got an absolute majority. An absolute majority. And they're both, tyrannical regimes, totalitarian, tyrannical regimes that deny, well, thou shalt not steal. They both operate on the basis of utterly rejecting thou shalt not steal. And when we went to the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Nashville, Tennessee, back in February, and there were officials of the government of Israel there and their tourism. The government of Israel, of course, like many governments, spends a lot of time and effort in getting their tourism message out, which is pretty difficult right now with all the terrorism in Israel. Terrorism affects tourism. At any rate, I was able to speak to some of these officials, you know, I didn't get to talk to the minister of tourism, but underlings, but still people with quite a bit of clout. And I asked them all the same question, the same theme about democracy. I said, when you guys speak, you always say that, you know, Israel's a democracy and we need to turn these Arab countries into democracies. And I said, can't democracies kill Jews as effectively as other forms of government? And when I'd ask that question, can't democracies be just as evil as other forms of government? I asked that question, and the Jewish official would lower his voice and say, this happened a couple times, and say, I agree with you. I agree with you. Democracy certainly is no guarantee of anyone's safety. That's right. It was not, it was Germany that hated the Jews. Germany, not just Hitler. How many Jews did Hitler kill with his own hands? Was it down somewhere close to zero? But yet 6 million were killed, along with millions of others, by the people of Germany. The people of Germany did it. And democracy is very dangerous. So at any rate, I liked President Bush's statement, wherever freedom stirs, let tyrants fear. I like that. And of course, when it comes to national tyranny, a nation, it needs its friends, its allies, to come to its aid. Because no one within a country has the right to kill the president or kill the king or kill the tyrant. Nobody has that right. But as soon as war breaks out, then, for example, whoever within the Iraqi government was giving us information about Saddam Hussein's whereabouts, basically targeting bombs to kill their own leader, that is justice. That's righteous. Now, why was it righteous for that person to try to kill his leader when it's generally unrighteous? It's because that person, our government and Britain and others, were going to war against Iraq. And we have the authority to go to war against another country if that country is unjust. We have that authority by God. Any country could go to war against an unjust government that's killing innocent people as part of its national policy. So you have the right to go to war against that country, and therefore you have the authority then to kill people in that country, including the governing officials. And so any person in that country, the guilty country, they could transfer their allegiance to the invading powers, and under the umbrella of the authority of the coalition, they could try to kill their leader because it's in time of warfare. But if it's not in time of warfare and there's not a nation coming against your government in a just war, then it's evil to use force to try to overturn your government. That's evil. Now, it's not evil to assert your independence if your nation is truly an independent nation. For example, if Britain and France go all over the world and plant their flags in countries after countries on most of the continents and try to say that they're the rightful rulers of tens of millions of foreign peoples, well, then Britain and France, they don't have the right to do that. And so if some country, that's happened to some country, they can exert their right to independence and have a war of independence. And that can be just. But a revolutionary war? No, that's unjust. Like France, the people in France killing their governing leaders and, well, killing the bakers and the butchers also. You know, when you start killing people unlawfully, it's really hard to draw the line. So what France did was immoral. Well, is that just a redundant statement? What France did is immoral? What? You know, I guess I don't need that many words. Just what France did. So, but what we did here in America was we fought our war of independence And I know that many people call it the Revolutionary War. I do not call it the Revolutionary War. I do not. It was our war of independence. We had the right to exert our independence from England because we were truly a new country. You know, the book of Acts says that God defines the boundaries of countries, their boundaries and their times. I'm paraphrasing the book of Acts. But just like God established what a family is, and liberals cannot come along and just redefine a family and say, oh, that's not a family. This is a family. You're not a family. Families are real. And God created, remember, he created the institution of the family and government and the church, those three institutions. And so countries are real. And Britain could say, hey, we have the right to rule over North America, but they didn't. We were geographically separate. We were culturally separate. We were religiously separate. We were truly a new nation. And just like kids grow up, you know, God defined what a family is. And then kids grow up. And at some point, if the parents try to control the kids when the kids are adults, then the parents are doing wrong. And the kids have the right to exert their independence when they're adults. And so the same thing with America. You know, people from England came over here. Yeah, and people from Holland came over here. People from Ireland came over here. You know, from throughout Europe. Folks came here and from the East also, the Far East. And people from Spain. And we were like a child nation growing up. And then we grew up. And we demanded our independence, which was proper. But for somebody in Iraq, outside of the context of a war with a foreign power, to kill the leader is wrong. Now, what can you do if you have an evil leader? Well, you can resist, and that's just like King David resisted Saul. Right? Saul was the evil leader, and David resisted him, but would not raise his hand against the Lord's anointed because that was the leader. All right, Bob and Yurt Live. This is a live commercial break. And so we just came up with this idea of the monthly video mailing. The monthly video mailing. Now, let's see. The shipping and handling right now cost us $220 to mail a video. All right, so $220. And if we did a $19.95 a month, that I guess that would work, right? See, when you run a business like Bob and Yurt Live, the bottom line is really crucial because it's really easy to go out of business. And we've been meeting and talking with some of our advisors, counselors here at Bob and Yurt Live and trying to figure out how to increase the revenue so that the program could stay on the air and stay on the web at kgov.com. And so, okay, I think we'll do that, right? Well, the monthly video mailing, and we'll list on that page where people could click for more information, we'll list the videos in the order that they're going to get them. Right? And we'll put the total savings if they stay with the program. They'll save not only the $55 off the retail price of the video, but plus our minimum shipping and handling charge. Right? Now that $220, that's not shipping and handling. That's just postage, right? That doesn't include the envelope and the labor and the phone call and the credit card charge and all that. So, all right, I think that'll work. And then we'll put the list of all the videos they'll get, and they could put in the special notes if we should skip some of the videos. Like, say they already have three. Then in the special notes field, as they're checking out with the shopping cart, they could say, I already have Mount Moriah, God and the Death Penalty, and a Bible tour of Israel. And so then we'd skip those. And the next video you'd get is Get Out of the Matrix. Hey, there's an idea for you. We got to do this. We got to talk to Joe. All right, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. It's important to think through the principles of justice. Because like Isaac Newton said when he was asked, Isaac, he's the most brilliant scientist who ever lived that we know of. And he was asked, how do you come up with this stuff? Hey, I, how do you come up with this? What color is and what is gravity? Not that he told us what generates the force of gravity, but he explained basically how gravity functions or the effect of gravity. And his answer was, when he was asked, how do you conceive of these things? How do you figure out that color is the difference in the length of waves of light? How do you come up with that, Isaac? And his answer was, I think about it for a long, long time. And that's how you work through difficult issues. The Bible. If you're going to teach the Bible, you got to think about it for a long, long time. At Denver Bible Church, this Sunday morning, we have a reverend coming over to help with Sunday school. Now, normally, I teach the Sunday school class at Denver Bible Church. But this reverend, he believes something that we don't teach at Denver Bible Church. He believes that you should only use the King James. And at Denver Bible Church, we tend to use the King James and mostly the New King James. So this pastor, he's going to come along and he's going to present his view and we will challenge it. And we'll say, oh, we'll listen to his evidence and we'll see if his evidence could stand. It'll be really interesting. But how do you think through these issues, important issues? You study them over a period of time. You think about it for a long time. And that's why God has appointed teachers in the body of Christ. Because if you dedicate your career to, let's say, fixing cars, well, then that's what you do. And you got to spend a lot of time to get good at that. And I thank God there are people who are good at that. So my car works. But other people, based sometimes on our gifts, you know, sometimes on different factors, we are teachers. And so we could spend our career studying and preparing to teach. And so when is war right or wrong? And when is it right to take up arms against your government? Well, the answer to that question is never. It's never right to take up arms against your government unless you come under the authority of a wartime power. That's it. That's the only time. So King Saul wanted to kill David, and David had already been anointed by God as the next king. And David would not, even though he had the opportunity, he would not kill Saul. Even though David was the bona fide leader of Israel, the next leader. And remember that God said David was a man after his own heart. And David respected that authority flow. and was not going to usurp authority, because even though Saul was evil, Saul was the leader. He was the leader. And so that's the way it's supposed to work. Hey, for those of you who followed the debate we had for the last couple days about intellectual property rights, copyrights and all, and we had Christians calling in saying, hey, maybe it's okay to copy other people's movies, songs, lyrics, books, software, whatever. I wonder if they thought through, how about, and that's wrong. It's wrong to violate someone's ownership of their creation. But I wonder if they thought through what would happen and how society would break down if it was legal to copy dollar bills. Yeah, there's no intellectual property rights. The governing officials can't claim any exclusive right to the images that are on a dollar bill, little handbill. Or how about trademarks and logos or celebrity names? Right? You go into a coffee shop and it's Starbucks, but it's not Starbucks. But the owner says, hey, it's just a word. They can't own a word. I could use the word. They still have the word to use. Or Motel 6. And it's not really Motel 6, and so it's got cockroaches in it. Or Microsoft Word 2000. You buy software, and you find out it's a different word processor. And they say, hey, our word processor is better than Microsoft's, so why shouldn't we be able to call it Microsoft Word 2000? So those, I mean, the people who argue against intellectual property rights, I don't think they've even begun to envision the nightmare that their principle would bring about. How about a U.S. scientist who copies plans for nuclear weapons? Because after all, no governing official could claim to own the intellectual property rights. I just made a copy. They still have the original plans. And then he distributes them. Let's go to the phones in Las Vegas. Mike, speak your mind.
Yeah, hey, Bob.
Hello, sir.
I heard your show the other night on, of course, I heard it on the internet, so it was a day late.
Yeah.
And I didn't hear the show last night. You talk about intellectual property rights.
Yeah, last night was a bit of a rousing debate.
It was.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to enter the fray just a little here.
Yeah.
Now, I don't believe you have the right to intellectual property rights such as music and software and books and all that stuff.
Right.
Unless you pay for them.
Right.
But paying for them is not quite as cut and dried as it could, many people think. Like,
well, if there are issues of confusion, say, in a contract.
No, I'm not talking about that.
Or a custom, then they need to be dealt with.
No, I'm talking about this.
Yeah.
I buy a cassette.
Yeah.
Or I buy an album. Or let's say it's music that I like, and I've bought the album, I've bought the cassette, I've bought the 8-track, I've bought the CD.
Right.
Now, I get a scratch on my CD.
Right.
I feel that I have some right to that music, even though I can't play it.
Well, different copyright holders of software and video and audio have granted a different range of rights. And so, for example, you could buy software for $500 for a CD, and they will oftentimes give you the right to make one copy of that CD as a backup.
No, but what I'm saying is this.
Yeah.
If I bought the cassette, right? Well, the cassette format, eventually wears out. It doesn't sound any good anymore.
Right.
But that shouldn't exclude my right to that music.
Well,
just because now, it's worn out.
That's not necessarily the case. The people who own the copyright, they can sell you any degree of rights to that music that they want to. They can sell you a one-time listen right. In fact, when you put a quarter in a jukebox, that's what you get.
Well, let me ask you this.
So if they sell you a cassette tape, they know the tape will wear out after 200 uses, and they may, part of their business plan is that you're going to buy another tape.
Well, how about the cassette and the CD are basically the same price? So I don't know if that quite works that way. Because a CD will never wear out. It might scratch.
Oh, they do scratch, right? Well, they all scratch eventually.
Let's just say it doesn't scratch. It could last forever where a cassette won't last.
Right, right. And so in CD, Mike, and CDs are sold at a higher price point, and they, I think they cost less money to make. And they take that into account. You buy a CD, it's going to last a lot longer. Your kids might get it. You might resell it.
You're saying that when you buy a CD, you only have a right to that CD. You don't have a right to the music.
I didn't say that. Okay. I said it depends on the copyright holder what rights they're transferring to you.
Well, it's not clear when you buy a CD.
Well, you could, if you're unsure of the custom, you could ask.
It seems to me, and I really want to talk about legal points. It seems to me, though, if I go out and buy a CD, that I have a moral right to that music to play on my...
All right, well, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Now that, so you're going from an area of uncertainty to an absolute declaration. Can't I sell you a one-time use of something I own?
Yeah, but you should make that clear.
Well, absolutely right.
Yeah.
So if there is uncertainty, then if there is true uncertainty, then I would say that the judge should grant to the customer, you know, the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
Because the one selling it didn't make it clear.
Well, but, you know, this gets really, it gets a lot deeper in this. How about this?
Yeah.
You're listening to the radio, which I've done for years.
Yeah.
And years ago, I had jukebox where I would record songs off the radio.
Yeah.
And I didn't think that was wrong. I still don't think it's wrong.
Well,
and play them back. And
right.
I figured the price for that music was listening to the commercials.
Well, the let's say... Oh, we're running out of time. But if we talk about that, say, regarding TV shows.
Right.
The TV industry initially wanted to stop record buttons on VCRs. Right? So you couldn't record a TV show. And they went to court, and was it the U.S. Supreme Court said, no, that doesn't fly because people could record other things other than your TV show. So we had VCRs that could record TV shows.
Yeah.
And the TV industry, I think, just, you know, cut their losses and said, hey, this is going to be a common practice. People are going to record TV shows, so we're going to build that into our economic model. And they didn't try to assert their rights that you can't copy a Voyager, Star Trek, and watch it at home. But you can't make copies of it to distribute or sell those copies. If you do that, you'll probably be charged with theft.
Right.
And so now the radio, I followed that a little bit more closely with TV than I did with radio. But the TV industry, this is how they reason through it. They're getting royalties when that program is broadcast. So when people record it for their own private use, they became comfortable with that.
Right.
Because they did get their money for the original broadcast. Whereas Napster and Kazaa, these other programs, there is no original royalty even. Mike, we're out of time. This is Bob and Nick reminding you to do right and risk the consequence.